This is Sharon Steitler, the bird chick, and I am here with non-birding Bill.
Hello.
And it is our goal to podcast, and we have been really bad at making that goal. If Zig Ziglar were in this room, he would express disappointment, I think, even in us.
Ziggy? Oh, but he'd be too busy sighing and getting lip from his parrot.
Zig Ziglar, didn't you ever have to have one of those? We had that in my high school. It was called a basic skills class. It was so ridiculous.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm very bitter because there was an advanced group called IDEA at my school, and when I got to my school, I was put in like an advanced class, but it wasn't like the high-end advanced class, and I think you had to pay extra for that, and my parents thought it was a scam to pay extra money to be an IDEA.
Rewind that. So you were in advanced class, and then they put you in an advanced class, but not the high-end advanced
class.
That's right. So is this like... So it was like advanced, like the baseline, like everybody was in the advanced
class? No, okay, so there was like the regular class.
Is this like one of those things where like everybody gets a medal?
Like
a participation award?
That's what the basic skills class was. Okay. So like when IDEA people were taking all their fancy humanities classes and like, you know, calculus, we were in these...
Oh, the humanities of calculus. Yes, I remember taking
this
that.
This teacher that I had... like, we had to have these affirmations, and she made us keep a journal, because she was like, I want to know about what's going on in your life. You know, write something positive. And then in hindsight, it was like, you just wanted the school gossip.
Sure.
But anyway, I just remember one day where she's going around and talking to people, and she was asking us what we wanted to do. And, you know, in high school, I was like, well, I'm going to be a theater major. And she's like, and when you're famous, your name's going to be in lights. And your name should be Sharon Shea. And when you're famous, people are going to say, how did you come up with that name? And you're going to say, I'm not going to say what this teacher's name was. Mm. Gave it to you. And I was like, I remember at the time, I was like, that's the stupidest name I ever heard of.
That's all sad. That's a porn star name.
There was another story that involved this particular teacher and her married son and one of my sisters, which we will...
I think you've just given the story away. But
my sister didn't know he was married. Yeah. Until I told my sister, I told my teacher, hey, you know the son you talk about all the time? My sister's dating him. No, she can't be. I was like, yeah, she totally is. He's married. Awkward.
So is that the story you weren't going to tell us?
I revealed no names. And I come from a litter of children.
Mm.
I have multiple brothers and sisters.
All right, so welcome to Sharon's Gossip Hour. Where we dish on things that happened 30 years ago. Next, we're going to find out who's totally kissing behind the... shop class.
I'm so lucky my family doesn't listen to this podcast.
Oh, my lord.
Okay, so we were in the UK.
Yes.
And we had a blast.
Yes.
Let's see, I went to Bird Fair.
Mm-hmm.
And Bird Fair is the world's largest... Consumer? I'm very thrown off because there's a Dog Day cicada singing outside of our room. So if you hear this periodic... buzz in the background, it is a cicada, and it's throwing me off because it's dark out and this particular cicada shouldn't be singing when it's dark. So I'm like, dude, what are you doing? You must be really horny. But I just came back from Bird Fair, which is the world's largest consumer trade show, and find a way to get there. If you're someone who plans in your life to do some traveling and you going to the UK and visiting London is on your list, please include Bird Fair. It's insane and it's fun. And birdwatching in Europe is different. Yeah, you have the hardcore twitchers, but birdwatching is a regular part of the culture. It's like being here in the U.S. and when someone identifies themselves as a hunter, whether or not you agree with hunting, it's just, you know, that's just part of the culture.
Sure.
And that's the way birding is in the U.K. Almost everybody knows what it is. The BBC News was there covering it left and right. The newspaper referred to it as the Glastonbury of birding. And, well, it was.
All right.
But it was so much fun. And, you know, here when at trade shows, you know, it's like, hey, come to our trade booth and we'll talk. Over there, it's like all the Scottish booths had serious whiskey. I mean, serious whiskey. I mean, we're talking like 15-year-old whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
And then Isla even had some Irish gin that you could try.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was great. A friend of mine with the Andalusia Birding Group His name's Peter Jones. I walked by his booth, and he was like, hey, Shaz, come in. And they had this whole tapas thing set up with cheeses from the region and chorizo. So there's food and drink everywhere, and the amount of stuff that is there. I mean, I went in there because I was doing this on a budget. I was like, I'm not going to spend any money. But I happened to pass the booth of the woman who wrote The Unfeathered Bird, and I didn't know she was going to be there. I geeked out hard. I tried to play it cool because I didn't want to be the gushing American and freaking out the lovely artist who's European. But I ended up spending way too much money on a print. But it's autographed by her, and it's a really cool print. It's one of my favorite prints from her book.
Okay.
But there's clothing, there's camo. Canon Camera had a gigantic booth there because so many people are into taking pictures. Digiscoping is still a huge thing there. Right. It's nuts. And what's really funny was I hooked up with some birders over there, and we had a Birds and Beers, and one was in conjunction with Drunk Birder. His name's John. But he and his friend Greg were telling me that, you know, the way that he's like, you know, you can tell the posers at Bird Fair from the real people. Because the real birders, you know, they don't come to Bird Fair with your binoculars. Now, if you're bringing them here to have them repaired or looked at or something like that, that's mm-hmm. one thing. But to walk around with all your birding gear and your convertible pants and things like that, it's like, you don't want to be that person. You want to be that person in your comfortable shoes. You definitely want to wear boots because things can get muddy. Mm-hmm. But you're there to look at product. You're not there to look at birds. And he said, people that walk around with their binoculars, they're just posing. He's like, oh. They just want to show off all their brands.
It's too bad you never got those Swarovski binoculars that had the crystals all over them. You could have walked around with those on.
I could have. I was surprised at how many people knew who I was. I mean, I know that when I go to birding festivals, you know, people often come up. And actually, what a lot of people say is, where's Non-Birding Bill? Or, tell Non-Birding Bill I love him. But just the number of people who had actually heard it, and then at a couple of booths, I would talk to someone, and I'd be asking questions, and I would mention them. It's like, yeah, I have a website, so I'm kind of interested in talking about this. I'm like, oh, what's the website? And I would say, and they're like, oh, do you write for her? Are you on their staff? And I was like, I love that you think that that website is powerful enough to have a staff. It is a staff of me.
Now, the other thing you faced was people wouldn't talk to you because you were a woman.
Mm. Oh, thank you for reminding me about that. That was interesting. So I've had so many British birders tell me that there aren't a lot of women birders over mm-hmm. at Bird Fair. And when I was, or not at Bird Fair, there just aren't a lot of women birders.
Right.
And I said, I bet you have them. I bet they just don't hang out with men. And so when I was walking around Bird Fair, I felt like I saw a good chunk of women. I felt like at least half the fair, maybe not quite half, maybe 40%. There were women running mm-hmm. around. And the guy said, mm-mm. Those are girlfriends who were dragged along. Those are wives.
Maybe they were ghosts.
Ghosts. No, there were clearly some women who were there who were birders. But there were, you could, after a while, you just kind of saw that glazed look that some of them had. But I did notice, too, that when I would visit certain booths, and they're busy and I'm kind of waiting to be helped on, someone would say to me, oh, you okay? And I would just, out of habit, say yes, and then they would turn around and talk to someone else who arrived after me who was mm-hmm. male. And I thought that was fascinating. It was like, oh, you've learned that women aren't really interested. We're just kind of hanging out. I actually really legitimately have questions about your product. And fortunately, I'm pushy enough, and I'm just like, hey, wait, not only am I okay, I actually have a question, and maybe I might want to buy this or something like that. And when I did that, then people would spend time with me. But there were not all booths. I won't say that that's what it was across the board, but I would say there were some booths that were very clear that women were, they didn't think they were going to get any kind of money or traction out of women, which okay. I thought was interesting. But no, it was a lot of fun. And then my favorite thing was that I did something called A Question of Stork, which was supposed to be a birding game show. And Bill Thompson from Birdwatchers Digest was there. And I was nervous about doing it because it seemed kind of like a QI kind of thing right. or a British TV show. And it's based on a show called A Question of Sport. And Tim Appleton, who's one of the founders of Bird Fair, was like, oh, don't worry about it. It's all fun. We'll mix in some North American questions. But if you don't know, just don't take it seriously. So I'm thinking it's like that show you did here called You're Making That Up.
Right.
Where a question is asked and you just have to make something up, right. you know. Case in point, I was asked at one of your shows, name a cocktail based on your hometown, and right. mine was a Hoosier Daddy.
Right.
Based on growing up in Indiana. Right. But it was very clear three questions in that everybody was taking it seriously, and I thought, I even attempted a joke answer, and I think someone thought I just messed up taxonomy, and it was, But I fortunately, I did know a couple of bookish answers. I knew they asked, like, one of the questions was, who's a famous Canadian bird watcher?
I don't know.
Margaret Atwood.
Oh.
The chick that wrote Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, I know who Margaret Atwood
is. Oh, okay.
And I was aware she was Canadian, but I didn't know she was
a bird. I just know that she's on Twitter, and people are like, oh, you should follow her, because she's a birder. And it's like, well.
Famous Canadian bird watcher. There's a phrase I don't believe that I've ever heard put together in my entire life.
She's an author, but really, she's a famous Canadian bird watcher.
Yep, that's what she's known for.
Actually, I'm actually kind of curious how many birders have actually read any of her books.
She's very popular, I'm sure, quite a few.
I haven't read all of her books, but I've read some of her books. Mm-hmm. Handmaid's Tale was very...
It was huge in the 80s. It was, well, I mean, there was the movie that came out, but I'm
sure I read it before the movie came out, but yeah.
So.
Well, no, it was. I highly recommend reading it. I would probably read it again. I don't know if I would watch the movie, but yeah, it was very good. So yeah, and then you and I met up in
London,
and I had my bills collide because we had dinner with Bill Oddie.
Which was fantastic.
That was weird to be across the table with you and Bill. And I met his wife for the first time, and that was fun. I thought you and his wife would be so... You guys could talk to each other. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, Bill and Laura, they can talk, and Bill and I can talk birds. But I ended up talking to her more, and you ended up talking to Bill more.
I don't know. I thought it was fairly... You know, his wife's a big nerd, so, you know, I thought it was a fairly well-rounded conversation.
It is, so, it is. So.
But no, they were entirely lovely people. I enjoyed speaking to them.
All right. We made our trip sound really boring.
No, it was an exciting trip. I did a lot of touristy stuff, but as far as this podcast goes, no, there wasn't a lot for me, you know, that I did. We went down to one of the parks and saw a bunch of birds.
You got attacked by a goose.
I didn't get attacked. It bit my pant leg to get my
attention. Well, you asked for it because you started feeding them.
Yeah. But, and I saw some pigeons. The pigeons were very interesting, so that's, you know.
I had a very birdie moment, though, and it wasn't even really bird-related. It was after we had dinner with the Oddies. We were walking back to our place, and you just randomly pointed to a wall in the dark, and you're like, oh, Banksy. And I looked over, and it was a Banksy. It was a very famous Banksy. And it was actually, this Banksy is so well-known. Like, the store owner that has it has plexiglass over it, and then it had a couple of other street artists that had tagged it too. And but that was really cool because when you pointed to it, I looked over and I saw the rat, and it was just like all the identification pieces came together, and I got that same kind of high that I get when you kind of put together that, oh, that's the bird I really wanted to see, and I've seen bits and pieces of it in field guides, and here it is right in front of me. I'm very sad though because I dropped my phone while I was in the UK, and it cracked the screen. And before we went to the Apple Store, I took some like really up close shots of the rats and stuff. That didn't save.
Oh,
so well, I thought it would like automatically save to the cloud, but for whatever reason, it didn't, and so I lost those pictures. But by the way, I have said before that when I get Apple products, because I take all my technology outside, I always get the Apple Care Protection Plan.
Mm-hmm.
It was worth its weight in gold because I dropped my iPhone 5S as we're going to dinner. Screen completely shattered.
Right.
Phone is usable. Mm-hmm. Not comfortable to use because the screen is cracked. We found an Apple store in Piccadilly.
Right. Convent Garden
on the Piccadilly line. Mm-hmm. And they replaced my phone there. Didn't cost me a thing.
Nope.
So that Apple Care Protection Plan is worth it.
All right.
And I knew that was there because a birder friend of mine who was not there for Bird Fair happened to be in London one of the same days I was there. It was the day I was going to Bird Fair. And we were like, maybe we'll try and meet over by Covent Garden. And I went to Covent Garden to get my SIM card for my phone in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked over, waiting for the elevator to go up, and I said, Scott? And he looked over, Sharon? That was fun. All right, so let's talk about birding news.
Yeah, let's talk about birds in this birding podcast.
Instead of talking about the UK. I can't remember if we've talked about this job before.
They all blur together.
Okay, well, it seems familiar that we're talking about the crazy ant strike team expedition.
I have no knowledge of that.
I feel like we've talked about crazy ants before. There's an island that has crazy ants on it, and the crazy ants are killing off some of the seabirds, and so U.S. Fish and Wildlife is trying to get volunteers and interns out there to...
Okay, you need to stop talking like that, because you sound like you're describing a dream, which is the... It's like this island, and there's these ants. Just describe the job. I have no recollection of this.
Okay, so you have to go to an atoll that contains four small islands.
Or an atoll, as some people pronounce it.
Is it an atoll?
adult.
I thought it was an addle.
Okay.
That's the Hoosier school system for you. So here's your weekly job for this.
Okay.
You have to do camp maintenance and chores.
Okay.
It's imperative that all candidates consider that Johnston is a remote site where all but emergency access is by ship. And that takes 3 to 5 days transit just from Honolulu. Oh, there's no resupply ship or visits during the 6 months camp that are anticipated. On the island, transportation will primarily be by foot or bicycle with 1 mile daily commutes to the work site.
Okay, that's not so bad.
Living conditions are primitive.
Sure.
They consist of 12-foot by 14-foot by 6-foot personal sleeping tents, while a bunker is used for communal food storage and kitchen, maybe even an office space. Keep in mind, weather conditions can be harsh with strong winds, tropical storms, and hot sun. Bathing and washing is done in the ocean.
Oh, of course it is.
Salt water.
Mm-hmm.
Communication has been proven to be reliable, but is limited with internet access.
Mm-hmm.
Internet access can't be guaranteed, and you need to be prepared that there may be no internet or just limited text-only emails. No browsing capabilities.
All right.
Direct medical attention is a minimum of 1, maybe 3 days away.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
You must be willing to and able to work 48 hours a week. So you must be physically fit, able to walk 10 miles a day, lift and carry 70 pounds, ride a bicycle, swim, be able to perform repetitive stooping and bending motions, and must be able to perform all duties in various weather, including high heat, humidity, strong winds, and rain.
Okay. How long is the job for? Let's get into the nitty gritty here.
It looks like it's a 6 month job. They're looking for four volunteers for up to 8 months.
Oof, volunteers. So there's no pay?
No, but it says U.S. Fish and Wildlife will provide airfare to and from Honolulu.
All right.
That's unusual. Normally they say you have to get to San Francisco. Maybe we'll fly you to Hawaii.
Okay.
You do get housing, which is a tent.
A tent. And a bunker.
Oh, man. Modest food stipend while in Honolulu. Okay, Hawaii is one of the most expensive states. I haven't stayed there, but everyone I know that's gone there has just been like, oh, man, Hawaii is super expensive. Mm. So if U.S. Fish is saying it's modest, you're going to eat coconut. That's all you're going to eat.
There is. Oh, all right. Is there any actual pay for at the end of the 8 months?
No, but you do have to be familiar with pesticide application.
I love how I ask you if there's any pay, and they go, no, but you do have to be familiar with pesticide application.
Oh, also, U.S. Fish and Wildlife will provide island quarantine clothing.
Well, that's going to be worth, you know, the money right there.
Oh, and also, the Honolulu stipend will not be paid up front.
Of course not. You have to submit receipts.
You need to have sufficient finances to provide for your own food for the preparation period in Honolulu.
All right, and so this is to monitor ants that are killing off.
This is to kill ants.
Oh, kill ants. So you could go live on a primitive island. This is not a job. This is a 50s science fiction movie where you are living in tents and fighting killer ants for no money.
And you're going to be on the Johnston Atoll, which is 717 nautical miles southwest of Honolulu. You are going to be out in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. Again, this is a job for an academic or someone who... Yeah, this is a job for someone who is going into ornithology and...
This is the job that I would take. If something happened to you, not that I think about your death
everybody
all the time.
Remember, yeah. This keeps coming up.
But if something happened to you, I think, what would I do?
And you needed to flee the country to a place where nobody could find you, to a place that is 700 nautical miles away from Honolulu, that has no internet access, nobody can call to find out who's there.
Did you ever see the movie The Greatest Show on Earth?
Oh, yeah, it's awful.
You know how Jimmy Stewart...
Well, it's not awful, it's cheesy as hell.
You know how Jimmy Stewart is always wearing his clown makeup?
Yeah.
And that's what I would do on this island.
Wearing clown makeup and killing ants.
Why does she always wear her clown makeup all the time, even when we're just rehearsing to kill the ants?
Rehearsing to kill the ants. Putting on a pageant.
And then I would leave, like, a Time magazine with a story of how you died somewhere. And then someone would read it and think, huh.
Trask Radio.
Oh. Trask
Radio.
We have gone from the greatest show on earth to Working Girl.
Sort of a lateral move, actually. But.
No, no. Working Girl has Harrison Ford.
Well, Greatest Show on Earth has, what's her name? Betty...
Hutton?
Yeah.
No.
Is it Compton? Anyway, it has her in it, so. Alright, so if you are a crazy person who wants to live on an island with no access to anybody but birders for 8 months...
Or,
for no money.
I don't even necessarily think these are birders on here. Or if you're, you know, a bereaved... woman who writes about birds who has suddenly lost her non-birding husband and wants to find herself. You know, this would be the kind of things like, Bill, I'm going to go to Honolulu.
Are you
going
to learn to love again under the fire ant colony?
Instead of under the Tuscan sun, what would this be? Above the crazy ant colony?
No.
I learned how to love and live again thanks to killing a bunch of ants so I could save some sooty shearwaters.
Right.
Are they sooty shearwaters? They're some kind of shearwater.
You're asking me.
Okay.
Next story.
All right. This story is awful.
Oh, good.
But it has a really unfortunate typo, and this comes from Andrew Wallace, who I think is our listener in Australia.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned this today.
But apparently some men in South Carolina have a hunting estate where they release quail.
Sure.
During the hunting season, big surprise, when all the quail are all over the place, hawks come to try and eat some of the quail.
Yep.
So they figured the best way to deal with this was to trap and kill the hawks. And the worst part is U.S. Fish and Wildlife got a tip, and they investigated it for 2 years with cameras and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they said, the worst part were the traps, because they wouldn't check the traps for days. And right. So then they would go out, and the birds would still be alive, and then they'd shoot them. So it was like, it took you 2 years to prosecute them on this trap thing, if you knew that was happening. But... it's an awful story. It's a horrible story. But there's a really unfortunate typo, which still, this has been up for almost 24 hours, and WLTX has not changed it. It says the three men, Martin, age 59, of Yessemite, Keith Gebhardt, age 54, and Mark Arstringer, age 63, of Beaufort, were sentenced to 6 month probation.
I watched that movie on Cinemax when I was a young lad, and, I gotta say, it doesn't really hold up as well as you would think it would.
They did. They actually. So they have the 6 month probation, community service.
Which so wait, these guys did this and they got probation.
A 1 year ban on trapping.
But they can still
kill their own quail. Yes. And a fine. In addition, the McKay Plantation, which these guys all came from, has agreed to pay $250,000 in community restitution. So I thought, okay, that was pretty costly right there.
Okay.
But 6 month probation, oh my.
Sounds like a reality show on
Sex
the O Network.
Probation. So the thing that I've been talking about a lot on the podcast, or not on the podcast, but is the Viking Stadium. Mm-hmm. I've been talking about that a lot in the blog. Yep. Vikings are the hometown team in Minnesota, and they're building a new stadium. And when the stadium first went up, it was... when the plans for the stadium first went up, it was just a bunch of glass. And one of the local sports stations here in town, KFAN, Dan Barrio, even just pleadingly said when it was unveiled, well, that's going to kill a lot of birds. This is a guy that doesn't know a lot about birds, but he knows enough about glass, like, well, that's going to kill a lot of birds. It's less than a mile from the Mississippi River, which is a major migratory flyway. And also, right about the time they were designing this, Minneapolis now has a law that says, you know, you have to take things like glass into consideration when you're putting in new construction.
Yes. Did I tell you what I read about that today?
No.
They were technically grandfathered in because the plans were submitted before that law was passed.
That's where I was going with this. Yeah. So their lawyers are arguing that they don't have to worry about this.
Sure.
The crazy thing is that at first it was kind of hinted as like, oh, well, to switch to fritted glass, even though it's energy efficient, that's going to be like $1 million extra in the budget, which is 0.1% of the overall budget for the stadium. Right. Since then, the stadium has now gone... has become a billion-dollar project, and the Vikings have channeled more money into it. The team has, because they want extra freight elevators, they want extra escalators, and things like that. And someone said, hey, somebody on Twitter even asked the Viking spokesperson, well, what about bird-friendly glass? Yeah, that's not really a money issue. That is just more a design issue. We have a design, and we want the clear glass so that way the community can feel that they're part of it. So we're not going to change that. So it's just, it's become this whole thing. And while we were in the UK, I started getting a flurry of emails from Audubon saying, hey, we have over 70,000 signatures, and we're going to deliver them to Governor Dayton's office. Mm-hmm. Can you come on this date? And I thought, sure, I'll come in support of that. I'll be a little jet lagged, but I can do that. And they said, great, we're going to have a phone call the day before. So I'm listening in on the phone call, the conference call, and they're talking about it, and they're going through what the agenda is. And they're like, yeah, and Sharon Styler is going to speak. And I was like, I am.
Surprise.
So I was there, Rolf Thompson from the National Eagle Center, Stephen Greenfield, who comes to a lot of Birds and Beers, and he's very active with Minneapolis Audubon. And there's a woman named Miranda Brandon who has these really great photographs. She does wildlife surveys around downtown Minneapolis and picks up dead birds that hit the buildings during migration. And some of the birds she took photos of, and they're fantastic, beautiful, artistic photos. And so they had some of her prints there, and they had all the signatures there, and they ended up turning in, I think, 76,000 signatures to Governor Dayton.
Sure.
And so I was like, hey, everybody, why don't you call Governor Dayton? Because pretty much it's up to the Minnesota Sports Facility Authority to do that. So many people have been contacting Governor Dayton that the phone lines have been... When you try to call, it's his voicemail
is full.
And it's same with the email. And so they'll clear that out, and it's filled up a few times. Keep calling, everybody. Today there was just an article in Wired. They've also brought this issue up, so it's getting national attention. Hopefully it's even getting international attention. I know the governor's office is actually listening, and they're actually kind of investigating it now. We need to keep going. Don't give up on this. Please don't think that this is a done deal. The Vikings may say the glass is ordered and that's all we're going to do. That's not the case. We still have time to fix this. They're not going to put the glass in until January at best, if they get it on an on-time schedule. So we still have time to fix this. If you haven't contacted the governor's office, please do. I'm not saying that you need to tell Governor Dayton. You don't need to go Reddit on Governor Dayton. Let's not do that. But, you know, you don't have to write horrible things, but just say, hey, I like football. I really care about wildlife. I don't understand why an all-glass football stadium so close to one of the world's major migratory corridors can't take birds into consideration. And really, they're just saying it's a design issue. They're not saying it's a cost issue. So we just, the more people that say that and say it in a reasonable fashion, I think the better chance we have.
I agree. I'm not sure why they're being so hard-headed about this. This is...
I don't know why they're being such wangs about it, quote Liz Lemon, but they're being wangs. And I think what it is that they have this... The stadium is beautiful. Don't get me wrong. Mm. And I think they have... From what I've been able to gather, the people that I've been talking to, it's like the glass being clear the way it is, they want it to look like it's... The artistic design is that it's part of the community. People can look in, and we can look out, and we can all feel like
yeah, you
like
can look in, but you can't actually see the game that's going on.
Yeah,
you can see the gift shop where you can buy things.
So, and that's the same thing. And
what a total load.
But I can totally see the designer just... We've worked with enough design people.
Mm.
No one that we know well and actually love now. But I mean, but you can kind of see it's like, no, this is my artistic vision. This is what I want. And so.
Exactly what they sound like. All right. Well, I mean, I still stand by my theory that this is a dodge and they're waiting until the last minute to say, okay, we've changed our minds so that they can.
The dodge I thought they were going to do was when they announced the Chris Cluey settlement, in which, if you don't know, Chris Cluey was the one who said. He was an advocate for, he was pro-gay marriage in Minnesota. And he had this great quote that said that if you support gay marriage, it doesn't mean it's going to turn you into a lustful cock monster. And suddenly everybody knew what a punter was in football.
Well, we knew before that. I don't know if
most
birders
people
knew
did
that.
Not know what a punter was.
No, most people know what a punter is because they follow football and you know what a punter does.
I would argue that Chris Cluey is probably the most notable
Suddenly,
punter.
Most people knew what a football player was.
All I know is that Chris... You left me alone in a bar one night, And this tall drink of water sat down next to me, and it was Chris Cluey. And I said, I'm a lustful cock monster. And I support gay marriage.
It's a great story.
He told me that he suspected that I was probably like that all along, and that wasn't his fault. But anyway. Anyway, but he got a settlement with the Vikings because when he was let go from the team, he had an article that came out that said that the Vikings engaged in all kinds of I shouldn't say that. The team and some of the higher-ups created a homophobic atmosphere.
Okay.
So, would you say that's a correct way to say that?
He experienced, discrimination. I think it was hostile workplace.
Because there were just really awful comments made to him, and then he was let go. And so the Vikings denied it and said, okay, fine, I'm going to file a lawsuit, and I have other stories that I'm going to bring up. And there was even a hint of one of his teammates who was caught with underage girls. And the Vikings said, yeah, we're going to do our own independent investigation. And the Vikings did. And then they decided to settle with Chris Cluey.
Right.
Because apparently whatever they found corroborated what he was accusing them of. So I thought when that story broke, when the Vikings were like, yeah, we're going to give Chris a lot of money to stop talking about this. And I thought, okay, now the Vikings are going to say, yeah, bird safe class, this is what we're going to do. But they have weathered both of the storms, and they think unscathed. So we'll see what happens. So please, if you can contact Governor Dayton, if you've seen any of the stories and you can link to them with your friends, I'm not saying you have to link to them from my site, you can just link directly from Wired or any of the other sources, just to get people understanding that what's different about birds hitting glass windows now is that we have glass alternatives that can help prevent this. And it's silly not to take that into consideration at this point. If this was 10 years ago, we would just say, whoa, wow, that building's going to kill a lot of birds. That's too bad. But what's different now is that we have options. And they're not too super expensive.
Right.
Okay, so I got an interesting email from Birding Business, which is the trade magazine for people who work in the birding industry. So if you have a retail store, if you're a supplier or somebody who creates birding product, you can get a subscription to Birding Business. And there was an article in their e-newsletter that says various retailers say that birds have been ignoring Niger seed for the past year or more.
Okay.
And Niger is also known as thistle. It's the tiny little skinny seed that you feed to goldfinches. And when I worked, I ran a wild bird retail location. I managed two different stores. I was an assistant manager to one. And the thing about Niger was you had to buy it in small quantities because once it is 6 months old, the birds won't eat it. And we had to use different suppliers. And Niger is not grown in the U.S. It is grown in Nigeria. It's grown, you can get it from Malaysia. Was that one of the places? Sri Lanka?
I don't know.
It came from different, Burma was one of the places I know that we got. No, I'm just thinking of what was labeled on the bag.
Sorry, I just had a Monty Python flashback. Continue with your story. I wasn't mocking you that time.
So, anyway, but when you got a bad shipment of Niger, you knew it. Because you would have your regular customers at a bird store, and they would... So, that week, we had seed deliveries twice a week at my stores.
Okay.
And so, if there was a bad batch, you knew it within a week. Because your customers who came... So, you got your seed on Thursday. Your customers came in on Saturday and bought their seed. And then they would be back less than a week later and say, the finches are ignoring my feeder. There's something wrong with this. So, if you had, you know, five of your regulars come in and say that, you knew you had a bad batch of thistle. And sometimes it happens. Sometimes either the batch got overheated or maybe there was a bad shipment or something like that. You knew when it happened, it was rare. This apparently has been going on and on. So I kind of linked to it and I asked if other people had noticed this. And quite a few people said, you know, they've had similar experiences in the last year and they noticed that it was really light seed. And one of the theories that's out there is that Niger is now not treated in the U.S. when it comes in. It's treated in whatever country it's grown in.
Okay.
And they heat it to try and kill it from germinating, although it still does germinate usually when it comes over here. But maybe they're overheating it, and then that's making it less tasty to the goldfinches. I always thought Niger was kind of a weird seed anyway.
Well, it's odd that the birds here would eat a seed that's not... I mean, what do these birds eat?
Goldfinches? Oh, my gosh. today we found a patch of wild sunflowers, and the goldfinches were all over it, eating the sure. seeds in that. They love echinacea. They love petunias. The
okay.
Goldfinches right. are mega seed eaters. They eat a ton of seeds. As a matter of fact, brown-headed cowbird chicks cannot survive in a goldfinch nest because they're vegetarians. They don't feed any protein. If there's any protein in a goldfinch nest, it's completely accidental because maybe they got a bug that was in a seed they were eating. And goldfinches will eat black oil sunflower seed. I think some people just like having the Niger seed because then you can have a tube feeder that's just all...
Oh, sure.
And Niger, we should also mention, originally it was spelled N-I-G-E-R because it was grown in Nigeria.
Right.
People mispronounced that.
Yep.
There was even a lawsuit against a garden store in North Carolina because sure. people mispronounced it. And so stores started taking to calling it thistle.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were people saying, oh, we don't want people selling that noxious weed thistle. We should ban the sale of that seed. And right, it's not even, it's more closely related to sunflower than it is thistle. So then the wild bird feeding industry, which is an actual organization, decided to phonetically spell it N-Y-J-E-R with the little copyright sure. symbol after it. So that's what you're supposed to call it now. But anyway.
It's a copyright symbol after it?
Is it the copyright or is it the...
Well, no, I'm not doubting your legality here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
it's the R circle. It's the registered.
Oh, it's a registered.
Yeah, so you're okay. supposed to capitalize it. N-Y-J-E-R.
Okay.
Anyway, maybe we should just stick to native seeds for goldfinches.
Maybe.
Then we don't have to worry about shipping it in. We don't have to worry about how to pronounce the seed.
Sure.
Really, goldfinches will eat sunflower seed. They will eat sunflower seeds in the shell.
Well, sunflower seeds are, you know, those are, that's a whole other fettle of fish there.
What fettle of kish is that?
Kish?
Fettle of kish?
No, there are no people putting up wacky tchotchkes from their, no, it's just that the price of sunflower is going up because it's becoming such a popular, the oil is becoming so popular as a cooking oil, especially for the fast food industry.
So I was looking at sunflower seed prices at a store recently, sure. and I was just aghast when I saw it, because I remember what I used to pay for it at the bird store. And then I kind of had this moment, it was like, oh, sweetie, you haven't worked at a bird store in, let's see, almost 8 years?
Yeah.
So yeah, those prices are going to go up. But I remember when a 50-pound bag of sunflower seeds was creeping up towards the $25
sure.
mark. And I was like, or no, it was creeping up toward, no, okay, I take that back. No, I remember when you could get a 50-pound bag of black oil sunflower seeds for $9.99, and the mm-hmm. owners were like, oh, we're going to have to take that to $10.99. Oh, we're mm-hmm. going to have to take that to $12.99. And I was like, nobody's going to buy sunflower seed for that. They're used to it being so cheap. And now it's way more expensive than that.
Sure. But. Yeah, you can't get it. I mean, everybody's, you know, the major food manufacturers are buying it for a healthier cooking oil.
Well, part of it was Frito-Lay when they decided to switch to sunflower right. or oil. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of the sunflower is grown in the Dakotas.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you had ethanol becoming a thing. And a lot of farmers were like, well, I'm not going to even bother with sunflower seed anymore because that's a pain in the butt to grow. So I'm gonna grow corn because the subsidies are so great.
Right.
And so then you had that. And then you had people who are like, and I'm also going to like default on my CRP agreements because even though we were going to be fined if we don't maintain this land and let it go wild, the subsidies on corn are going to default if we get caught doing that.
Right.
And so, yeah, you lose habitat. Yeah, corn is a mess. And then, yeah, Frito-Lay taking over the oil is a mess. And now you have all the oil boom that's going on in the Dakotas. So people that would farm would just, let's get some money from oil.
For fracking, which is great for the environment.
Fracking is different. Fracking is something. We need a more happy story to end on. We can't end on this. You know what we're going to end on? We're going to end on snoring duckling.
All right.
So the viral video going around this week is someone has a pet duck. It looks like a Peking duck, so please don't email and say raising baby ducks is awful mm-hmm. and nude. This looks like a clearly...
A nude?
What?
Raising ducks is nude?
No, raising ducks... raising... Okay, number one, I don't endorse raising ducklings in the nude.
strong and unusual stance for you.
Don't raise ducklings and then release them out into the wild. Right. If you're going to raise ducklings, you have to keep them for the rest of their lives. Yep. They are now your responsibility, and they're going to be stinky, and they're not going to be litter box trained, and I'm sorry, but you're in this mess now. But sometimes people raise ducks, and they're domestic ducks, and you're going to live with them. And this looks like a young Peking duck. This doesn't look like a mallard duckling at all. And it's sleeping on this guy's chest. They're indoors, and the duckling is snoring.
Sure.
And it's hilarious, and it's funny, and watch it. I don't think the duckling is sick. Please don't email me. This is a viral video that I'm linking to.
No, this is your duck. You own this duck, right? This is yours?
No, I do not own this duck.
Yeah. No, really? Then why are you posting the video? It's on your webpage. That means
I am responsible for every... And you know, people send me... I would just like to say, people send me videos all the time. And then sometimes I look at videos and I'm like, that animal doesn't really look healthy. I'm not going to link to that. Never mind. But, I mean, this duck looks healthy. It looks like it's probably kind
It's a sleeping duckling.
It's making noise. It's hilarious. Watch it. It's
you know
funny.
What? That duck is hooked on cocaine.
No, I've already had someone say that duck has pneumonia. It's irresponsible that you posted this. And like, it doesn't.
Humanity, you never fail to disappoint. But it is a very cute video. The only way it could be cuter is if it had a little feather that was going up and down while it was snoring.
Okay, so I had to work the state fair as a park ranger.
Sure.
And one of the days I had to work was there was a quarter of a million people at the Minnesota State Fair.
Oh, yeah, I was there that day.
I don't like crowds, as you can attest, because I did not behave well that day.
No, you did not.
But I experienced two incidences where I thought people overstepped their bounds as to what they can do to someone's personal space.
Mm.
And I was complaining to my supervisor about this at the Park Service because I hate working crowds and things like that.
Right.
He told me the most disturbing story. So the day he worked the State Fair...
Okay, good. I'm glad we're going out on a happy note here.
As he's taking the shuttle bus back to his neighborhood, because that's how you have to do the State Fair in Minnesota. Don't drive, just take a shuttle bus. Sure. He's on the bus and he's reading, and he feels someone blowing on the back of his neck. And I said, okay, that trumps any sexual harassment that I had at the State Fair. And he said... I just knew in my head I shouldn't turn around. I'm just not going to make eye contact. And he said... The person behind me suddenly stopped and it got really silent. And I think they realized, oh crap, I'm blowing on someone's neck. And he said, and then I saw my peripheral vision, like some kind of fluff, like maybe some milkweed kind of flowing. So I think what happened was they were just kind of tired and spaced out and they saw some milkweed fluff and they were just blowing on it. And then he decided to blow and blow and blow it around. And then they realized, oh crap, I'm blowing on the back of someone's neck. And that person is kind of in a uniform.
I hope that person writes an article. That's a fantastic story.
But it just kind of creeped me out to, like, what if you're on a bus and someone starts blowing on the back of your neck?
Yeah.
That's creepier than the person who looked at my chest and said, that's my favorite thing to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Mental note, that's not a good thing to say to a complete stranger. It's not charming.
I'm sorry.
You weren't the one that said it! As a matter of fact, after it was said, you were like, are you holding any food? No! I'm not holding any food.
I didn't even hear him say it, so I think you're misremembering that.
I just remember being really incredulous.
Sure.
I was like, did you just actually just say to that? Did you say that to the badge?
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
All right, is that it?
That's all I have.
All right, this is Bird Chick Podcast number 175.
Well, we should have done something more special.
Can't get through this. I can never get through this.
You have gotten through this.
No, I'm just not going to announce the numbers anymore because you're like, oh, this is a Bird Chick Podcast 140. Oh, it's 12 squared. We should have done something special. Or you disagree with me about what number it is.
We don't do that every time.
Yes, we do.
No.
All right. I'm going to do the wrap up now. Do you have anything to say before I do the wrap up? Think about this long and hard.
I am.
No, don't store it up. Say it now before I do the wrap-up.
We're doing a big sit on October 12th.
All right. This is Birdchick Podcast 175. If you have any questions for Sharon, you can email her, Sharon at Birdchick. You can talk to her on Twitter where she is at Birdchick, or you can find her Facebook page.
It's Sharon at Birdchick.com. I don't want someone to think it's .gov.
.edu.
Or .org.
It's .guru. Birdchick.guru.
Is that still a thing?
Oh, yeah. That just became available. I'm not buying it for you. All right, we will talk to you later. Bye-bye.